Allah, the Merciful, the Compassionate. Hello and welcome to Peer Home with me, Sahar Haqjib. Well, for all of you who tuned in a couple of episodes back, we spoke about counseling and the significance of counseling in our lives. And we've reinforced time and again that it's very, very important to have some sort of counseling at some point in your life. And today we'll discuss counseling again. It's part two of our program. And we're delighted to have Dr. Mohsen Ghamberi in our studios. Do we have him here?
Yes, of course.
Hello, Dr. Ghamberi. Welcome to the program.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you very much. This is my pleasure to be in this program.
Alaikum salam. Okay, so stay with us. We'll go for a break, and of course, we'll come back because we want to talk about part two of counseling. Welcome back to the program. Well, as we said, we will discuss counseling and the significance of that in our lives. So, Dr. Ghamberi, if you recall last time we spoke about counseling, and for those of us viewers who were not watching our program and didn't tune in last time, can you give us a brief recap and an overview of what we talked about last time?
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bihi nasta'in. Innahu khayru nasirin wa ma'in. We talked last session about counseling and its importance from Islamic perspective. And we wanted to refer in this regard to the Holy Quran as the first source of understanding Islamic teachings, as well as the tradition of Ahlul Bayt and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. To understand the importance of counseling, this is enough to focus on the goal of everyday life, to where we're going and what is the final goal and our ideal from this life, physical life that we're living all together. And also, what is the way and the path to attain this goal in everyday activities and everyday life. And at the end, what is the facilities, abilities, and the other things that we are in need of them to reach that goal through the certain path. Then to recognize our goal from this life and to understand the best way and the, or what we can say, shortcuts or bypass to this goal, and also the abilities and the facilities of reaching that goal is reaching us and ending us to counseling, because we ourselves all the time are in need of help of people, taking assistance of the ideas, opinions of the others who are expert enough, who are knowledgeable enough in the fields that we're suffering from, you know, lack of knowledge or little knowledge of these fields. So to reach first, to recognize your goal of life and to understand the best way of that, which one is the best and the bypass to that goal and the facilities of that, helping us to understand and the focus on the importance of counseling.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and just to add to that, we basically clarified some of the qualifications and the characteristics of a good counselor, because a lot of times we're looking for a counselor and we need to know where to go so we don't go. I believe last time you spoke about how we need to go to the right people so that they don't mislead us, so that we actually do get the proper counseling and beneficial counseling that can help us in our lives. And how do we know that we need counseling? Because a lot of times we might not know that at this point in our lives we're stumped, but we don't know where to go and we don't know that we do need counseling. And also we discussed counseling in marital relations and also counseling for our children. Yeah. Today we want to expand some more on counseling from the point of view, the Islamic point of view, from the Quran, the Ahlul Bayt, the Al-Hadith. So we want to speak about that in today's program. So we'll go and listen to our story, and when we come back we'll speak about this stuff.
and land. Once upon a time, there was an Iranian wrestler who was outstanding amongst other wrestlers. His name was Puria Yevali. He was well known in the city. Every man and woman, whether young or old, knew him. Every wrestler, whether young or old, familiar or stranger, who wrestled with Puria Yevali was defeated. But that day, a wrestler from India had come, from Khwarezm. Everybody was worried about the wrestling between him and Puria Yevali. Puria Yevali hadn't told anybody that he was worried about this wrestling, but there was something in his look which showed this worry. The story began when Puria Yevali had gone to the mosque to say his prayers. Behind the curtain which separated the women's praying section, he heard a woman praying. She was the Indian wrestler's mother. She prayed, "God, please help my son defeat Puria Yevali." The great Iranian wrestler was deeply impressed by the old woman's prayer. Puria Yevali said his prayer and left the mosque. But he wasn't the same wrestler he used to be. He was facing a dilemma. On the one hand, he wanted to defeat the Indian wrestler. On the other hand, he felt empathy for the old woman. It was the day of the competition. Everybody had gathered in the greatest square of the city. They had spread rose water everywhere to create a good smell. The two wrestlers started the competition while people were applauding them. The Indian wrestler attacked Puria Yevali, but the Iranian wrestler pushed him away. People shouted joyfully, but suddenly the Iranian wrestler happened to see the longing eyes of the old woman. Puria Yevali closed his eyes so that people wouldn't see the old woman. He just wanted to hear the people's applause. At that moment, he was the same wrestler who was known for his physical power and strength. Puria Yevali put his arms around the Indian wrestler's waist and picked him up. People shouted joyfully, "Defeat him! Throw him to the ground!" Suddenly, everything changed. Puria Yevali released the Indian wrestler and fell down himself. Everybody realized that it wasn't the Indian wrestler who defeated Puria Yevali. It was Puria Yevali's humbleness, faith, and kindness which made him lose the competition, deliberately in order to make the old woman happy. It is said that Puria Yevali whispered this poem at the end of the competition. A high land never receives water. This saying applies to people who are not humble in their relations with others and people who are too proud.
Welcome back to the program. Well, we're discussing counseling and the importance of counseling in our lives. And we're here with Dr. Ghamri. He's in our Qom studios. And Dr. Ghamri, now we want to know, basically, what does the Quran say about counseling and the importance of it?
Well, if I want to give a good definition of counseling, I have to say that counseling is a process in which some relationship that is professional relationship built between two persons, two people, one is counselor and the other is the person who is referring to that counselor. And in this process, counselor trying to give advice, give counseling to that person who is suffering from different difficulties and problems in his or her life, and helps that man or woman to decide how to manage his life or her life, and also to decide to increase his or her knowledge and skills in his or her life, to develop the life and the way of life that a man is going to live and that process. So if we return back to the Holy Quran and the tradition of Ahlul Bayt, with the issue that we're talking about that and this counseling, I have to say that there is a whole chapter in the Holy Quran called Shura. There is a title in among the chapters of the Holy Quran, and that is Shura. Shura means counseling, and that is showing the importance of counseling from Islamic and Quranic perspective. Within that chapter, Allah is addressing some issues with respect to the counseling and the way the Prophet Muhammad and the other people should engage with the issue, I mean, with respect to the counseling of the people. First of all, I have to say the best counselor of people is Allah the Almighty and the Messenger of Allah and the Ahlul Bayt, because they are knowing the nature of the problems and the best way for solving that problems. Then whenever is going to receive good counseling from a person who is the best one as to play the role of counselor is God, His Messenger, and the Ahlul Bayt from Islamic perspective, of course. For the sake of that, it is mentioned in our tradition that whenever person is encountering some problem in his life and wanting some person to be a good listener to that problem and to talk to him, let us start that person with God to pray.
If I just when may we add, want to Dr. perform Bamber, prayer,
we are talking to God, and God is active listener in this regard. He is listening carefully, our talking, our prayer, and He is able enough to, you know, meet our needs and answer our calling, our prayers. So this is in this way. And the other way, whenever we want to receive the call of God and the counseling of God easily and let God to talk to you, we have to recite the Holy Quran and refer to the glorious book that is called Quran. And we all know that all the verses and the chapters of the Holy Quran are the advice and the teachings and the counseling of God to the people. Then there are two side way to talk to God and to receive from God, and that is performing prayer, and the other way, reciting the Holy Quran. When we refer to the Holy Quran, we find some verses that they are playing the role of counselor to us in our problem. One verse is that is very interesting, and we can find it in chapter Zumar, verse number 18. God says, الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَهُ. When you want to talk to somebody, you have to choose the sane one, the intellectual one, because he is listening carefully to you, الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ, to your talk. And then فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَهُ. And that person can play the role of counselor, good counselor, by offering you the best choice that is rational, a choice and rational way to reach the resolution of your problem. So this is one thing. We have to be intellectual enough when we encounter some problem, and then to refer to the intellectual one, the rational being, to choose the best way to solve the problem. Otherwise, cannot, you know, reach the goal that we're seeking, that goal in our life. Then we have to listen to different voices, to different words, and then choose the best one. And choosing the best one needs intellectual being, you know, and intelligence. So we have to think about that way. The other way that Quran, you know, advises us in counseling is that ask the people who know, ask the people who are expert in some certain field, فاسألوا أهل الذكر. Ask the people who are remembering, who are knowing, who are expert. You can find this verse in chapter Nahl, verse number 43. So there are different fields that we are engaged in our life. Some of people have some religious problems. Some of them have some spiritual problems. The other have some educational or marital or something related to the family. So in each field, we have to find out which person is the best one to be a counselor for us. I think for the problems that we have in with respect to the religion, spirituality, religious education, our family, you know, our children. So we have to refer to the people who are expert in this field, not the other people, because other people may be good, but in their own field, in their own understanding and skills. But here we have to refer to the ulama, to the expert in Islam and religion, because they are familiar and knowledgeable in the sources of Islam and can understand what Islam says about different fields and different issues. So these are two just verses. And if there's time in this just part of the program, I can continue. If there's no time, then I can postpone it to the other parts of this program.
Okay, well, we'll expand a little more on this after we take a break. But I just think I was mentioning throughout your discussion here that I think it's quite important for us to realize, like you said, we have the Quran, we have the Ahlul Bayt, and everything is at hand. We have a lot of these books. And unfortunately, we don't realize that we have such a gem right at our fingertips. So like you said, the Quran is the number one source for counseling. So for a lot of us, if we are faced with a problem, we don't need to look that far. Sometimes we can find the answers right in our own homes in the Quran. So it's quite important for our viewers to take that into account. Of course, we'll discuss more about the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt. We'll take a break. We'll go for a break. And when we come back, it's time for From Here and There. Welcome back. Now it's time for From Here and There with my colleague Farhad Vafoju. In this section of the program, we have an email, an interesting article, and of course, a book. So let's turn over to Mr. Vafoju.
Thank you very much, Ms. Vafoju. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this edition of From Here and There. In this first part, let me read for you an interesting article suggesting an alternative diet for us to have a healthier life. Mediterranean dietary style has been associated with better cognitive function, lower rates of mind decline, and a reduced risk of dementia. The recent analysis reveals that a Mediterranean diet not only supports memory and thinking skills in old age, but it protects mind against cognitive problems and age-related diseases, such as Alzheimer's. Mediterranean diet is known for higher daily consumption of fruit, vegetables, cereals, olive oil, and fish, and lower intakes of meat and dairy products. The study was conducted by a team of researchers from the University of Exeter Medical School in England and supported by the National Institute for Health Research Collaboration for Leadership in Applied Health Research and Care in the Southwest Peninsula. The eating habits and cognitive function for the participants was assessed by the new and particular criteria during the study. The recent research has been reported to be the only systematic study on a Mediterranean food and its association with health. The Mediterranean dietary pattern was also proved to play a significant role in decreasing the odds of developing muscle weakness and other signs of frailty in old age. The popular diet of the region is usually high in antioxidants and unsaturated fatty acids like omega-3, which supports brain and heart health. According to an earlier study, enjoying a diet full of fruits, vegetables, and fish, and avoiding alcohol lower the risks of death caused by stroke and heart attack. Adopting a Mediterranean diet also long believed to protect individuals against cancer and depression. The elements of the diet, moreover, improve blood vessel function, fight inflammation, and repair oxygen-related cell damage, all of which can help lower the risk of developing depression. Thank you. Like always, in this second part, we introduce you to a major book that focuses on Islamic teachings and principles. And for today, I have picked an interesting and very informative book titled A Bundle of Flowers, which is compiled and authored by Ayatollah Sayyid Kamal Faqih Imani. The book discusses such topics as the opening tradition, knowing Allah, His greatness and His grace, prayer and its effects, midnight prayers, and faith in God Almighty and attaining His pleasure, among others. I'm positive you will learn a lot by reading this great book. Well, a nice song for your emails. We have an email from Atiya Ibrahim. She has said to us, Salam, thank you for your program. Would you please invite an expert to speak about panic disorder? Thank you so much and continue good work. Thank you very much, Atiya. We have so far invited a number of highly qualified and celebrated psychologists to our program. We have discussed so many issues in psychology, but as for panic disorder, I promise we will have a specialist in this regard within a couple of weeks. Thanks very much for watching. Back to you, Ms. Akhju.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bafoju. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I was craving a lot of salad and Mediterranean diet, I think you said, right. which sounds good, healthy and delicious, I think. Well, for this week, our report is about the Holy Defense, since we are in the Holy Defense Week this week. We'll go and look at a report about some of the photography and art of an exhibit of Holy Defense.
Holy Defense is a collection of thoughts, activities, talents, and responsibilities. Each person has accepted some dimension of this responsibility, and some people have increased responsibility in this vast area. Taking a photograph and recording it in the minds of people is more effective than hundreds of words and several books. Photographs define many events which have happened at other times. They turn ordinary and common events into important and extraordinary ones. The photographs of the Holy Defense will never die, and today they have turned into a kind of historical recounting. The photographs of the war connect us to our memories of the past, provoke emotions, and improve the epic spirit of the society. One of the features of war photography in comparison with documentary movies and other war movies is its fixedness. In spite of movies, photographs are fixed and not changing. For the same reason, they convey the realities of different moments of the war to us better than movies. The photographs you see here are the results of self-initiated efforts of the photographers of the Islamic Revolution and the Holy Defense. These photographs are reflections of the time when brave Iranian men manifested their boldness. Although a substantial number of photographers of the Islamic Revolution and the Holy Defense have been identified, and many of their works have been organized, it's evident that many of such photographers are still unknown, and this exhibition is lacking their works.
Welcome back to the program. Well, we're joined by Dr. Mohsen Ghamberi in our Qom studios, and we're discussing counseling from the perspective of the Holy Quran and Al-Hadith. And so we want to expand a little more. I think, Dr. Ghamberi, you had more to say about some citations from the Quran about counseling.
Quran in one just statement invites us to have and experience a pure life. Hayat tayyiba, pure life. is just determined in the Holy Quran in this way, that it has very clear goal, and through the path that Quran introduces, that path we have to go toward that goal, and there are good counselors, good guides for this journey toward that goal, and there are messengers of God, prophets, and the successors of the prophets. And now we do have two traditions, the Holy Quran and the tradition of Ahlul Bayt. So whenever who wants to reach salvation, to experience pure life, that Quran invites us to, should take these two sources. I mean the source of the Holy Quran and the source of the tradition of Ahlul Bayt. So just there is a good hadith from Imam al-Ridha alayhi salatu wasalam, who says any mu'min, any believer, a faithful person should experience three traditions. One tradition from God, the other tradition from the Prophet of God, and the other from Ahlul Bayt, tradition from Imam. What we should own, the tradition from God and these divine tradition, is to hide the mystery and the secrets of people. When we want to play the role of counselor, we have to not to reveal the secrets and the mysteries of the people who are referring to us. This is the main point. And also, whenever we understand some information that are, what I can say is that classified information, that no one satisfied to reveal all of these information to the other people. So whenever we overcome or we get aware of that things that are classified, we cannot reveal to the other people. We have to hide it. And this is the tradition we learned it from God the Almighty. This, the second tradition is the tradition for Prophet, and that is tolerating people, forgiving people, just pardoning people. Do not, take it easy. Take the situation with people in a very easiest way. Do not make people in trouble, in difficulty. Take with people in a very easy way. That is the tradition from the Prophet, tolerating people. And the other tradition that is understandable from the Prophet, from the Imam, Prophet's successor, is patience, sabr. To be patient against the difficulties that we are suffering from. If we own these three traditions, from God to hide the secrets and the mysteries of people, the second to tolerate people, and the third to be patient of the situation that we are suffering from, the troubles that we encounter in our life. If we experience all of these things, these are the best advice that the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt and the Quran shows us and
also, Dr. Ghamri, going back to the Holy Quran, I think if you'd agree, just like you were saying, just looking at the Quran, some of the, just the stories about the prophets and the history that's been cited, that in itself is counseling, because that can teach us, right? Because they're lessons that we can learn. A lot of times, like you said, patience, the forbearance, forgiveness, all that. If we look, that in itself is counseling, because it's teaching us through the stories and through the lessons of what should be done, what shouldn't be done, right?
Right, exactly. What our Prophet played was the role of counselor, good counselor, that we can refer to the life of Prophet and the history of Islam and learn more about the tradition of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. Even when you refer to the Holy Quran, Quran addresses in this way Prophet, his Prophet, that فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. This was after the mercy of God that your Prophet became soft and kind and merciful to the people, because Allah wanted Prophet, his Prophet, to be merciful to the people. And then Allah says, if you were hard-hearted, people would disperse from you and go get away from you, your Iran. And then he says, this is the way that any counselor can go through, and that's fa'fu anhum, forgive people, pardon people. Any counselor should pardon, should tolerate people. And then wastaghfir lahum, and Allah asks his Prophet to ask forgiveness for the people from Allah the Almighty, and ask Allah to pardon them. And then washawirhum fil amr, take counselor and counsel people in their affairs. And after just making decision, فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, any counselor should forgive people, according to that verse, because Prophet had this role of counseling, played the role of good counselor for the people, because he tolerated people, pardoned people, and then asked Allah to forgive people, and just shared his opinion with the people, and asked people's opinion and understanding about certain issues. And at the end, he made a decision. Mm-hmm. And after making decision, rely on God, trust in God, because Allah loves the people who are trust on him.
And just quickly, before we go for a quick break, also istikhara, I think we did touch on this last time, just the fact that a lot of people, we want to lay any kind of misconception that istikhara is a form of counseling, but when should that be done? Because again, that is when people refer to the Quran for a path that they can choose. So when should that be done?
I didn't understand the word.
Oh, istikhara. When we go to the Quran and we look for a path, I guess the guidance, people choose to go to the Quran and they want to decide what to do. So a form of counseling and making decision based on the Quran. They look for an answer from the Quran.
Oh, yeah. Of course, before just thinking about some certain issues and receiving the counseling of the other people, we are not allowed to go, you know, directly to the Holy Quran, because Allah has given us intelligence. Allah has given us the ability to understand people's ideas and choose the best one. And if you go to the people and thought enough about some issue but didn't reach any point, any end, at the end, the last resort of understanding the best way to reach that goal or to resolve the problem is referring to the Holy Quran, and that is istikhara. And there are some certain people who are the expert in this field, and we have to refer to them, not the old people who are claiming that we can do istikhara or can do counseling with the Holy Quran.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. So I think the key here is the last resort, and to use your intellect first, and obviously go to someone who is qualified. Okay, we'll go for a quick break, take a look at a clip, and we'll be back. سر جاش باشه تو خواهی بود تو جا بدانی اما میمیرم من تو جا بدانی اما میمیرم من موسیقی
مگر طلوع خورشید رو دریا تماشا تماشا نکردی تو با ستاره ها و کوه و صحرا مدارا مدارا نکردی تو با نیک و بد هستی تو لحظه های سرمستی و دیدی دیدی و میبینی تو خود فاتح و مغلوب و تو ایام بد و خوب و دیدی دیدی و میبینی
Welcome back to the program. Well, we're nearing the end of our discussion about counseling with Dr. Mohsen Ghamri. So, Dr. Ghamri, in the last 5 minutes or so of the program, tell us a little bit more about the hadith about counseling and what will happen if we refrain from getting any sort of counseling.
When we refer to the status of counseling from in Islam and in the Holy Quran, we find that Allah orders and commands His Prophet to do counseling with people. And it doesn't show that Prophet has no enough knowledge or intelligence to think and decide by himself, but it is the gift of God to the people to strengthen their own opinion and to find out the importance of the counseling and finally to find the way and the best way, of course, to bypass to the goal that they determined before. And when we refer to the Prophet's life and Imam's life, they want to focus all the time that la dhahira kal mushawara, there is no support better than counseling. When you want to find support, any support in your life, in your opinion, you have to receive counseling from the other people. You have to refer to the counselor. And according to some ahadith, whoever is receiving counselor and refers to a counselor never becomes, regretful of what he's going to do in the future. Because if it is wrong, he can say, okay, I received that point from the other people. If it is correct, then that's correct and that's what he wanted to do. Then we never become regretful if we receive counseling, and it supports us in different corner of the life, in different activities, in different aspects of our life. And Prophet was so kind to the people as a counselor. And we have to learn this lesson from the Prophet's life to be kind to the people who are asking some help, some opinion, some ideas, theories in their life. And when the Holy Quran introduces his Prophet, says Muhammadun Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet Muhammad is the messenger of God. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّوا عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. And the people who are around him are hard to the enemies of God and are kind among them, among themselves. So if we want to have good community, good family, good country, and good world, we have to be kind and merciful to all people who are living around us. We cannot, refrain from counseling, because if we refrain from any counseling, any point of view of the others, we are making ourselves alone among different difficulties and disasters. And if we be alone in this life, then all the damages are coming to threat us.
Mm-hmm. Also, all I think it's important, like you're saying, Dr. Ghamri, that the fact that if we do refrain from counseling, we're not only alone, but sometimes we really don't know what to do. And sometimes it's pride, or sometimes it's that stereotype or stigma or taboo, let's say, that people say counseling is bad, or if you're going to a counselor, you're going to a shrink and you have mental problems, and on and on and on. And like you said, if we refer back to the Holy Quran or the Hadith that have told us over and over that counseling is good and beneficial, then we should try to get rid of that stigma in society also, that counseling is bad, or that we should be ashamed or embarrassed.
About counseling, you know, yes, as you said, if we refrain from counseling and say, okay, I am enough, I have enough, you know, knowledge and expertise and intelligence, I can solve my problem for myself. I don't need the other's opinion to come and help me. Because some people may think that if I talk to other people, I have to talk about my secret aspect of life, private realm of life, then I'm not satisfied with this point. Mm-hmm. Try to find the best person to trust on him, and talk easily about your problems to that person. In this way, you can get rid of your stress, pressure, and you can find out of the difficulties that you have. I think there is no good reason, an excuse to refrain from any good counseling and just stopping from going and referring to good counselor, because they can help us, especially in the realm of religion, spirituality, and education that we have with respect to the religion. We have to refer to the people who understand, who are Ahl al-Dhikr, who are the people of expertise in this field. If you go to them, I'm sure that they can help you to overcome your stress, your difficulties, if you have any
problems
with your
children. Thank you so much, Dr. Gambari. On that note, I think we can end the discussion and basically so that our viewers can hopefully take this advice into account. Thank you so much for being with us, Dr. Gambari, and helping us. And to all you viewers, thanks for tuning in. Don't forget, go on our website, sahartv.ir. Check us out, and don't forget, write a few lines, email us, tell us what you think. Your comments, questions are very much appreciated. purehome@sahartv.ir is our email. Thanks for tuning in and inviting us into your pure home. Until next time, goodbye and God bless.